This is the Funny Mummies podcast, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian, writer, actress and mother to two very lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, arts and anyone who can help us in this crazy world of parenting. So settle in as we find the funny side of parenting and being bloody great women. You're listening to Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. Welcome to Series 2 of Funny Mummies, our check-in on the lock-in special. So how are we all doing? Looking after yourself, I hope, which for me has meant being a bit too, friendly with the foodie treats because, you know, I deserve it. I've done whole days of homeschooling in my pants and it might be the end of the world, so chuck another chocolate digestive down my neck. But now, as we hit week, what is it, 10? Is it 10?
34.
No, shut up. We now start to live with this pandemic as the new normal. And as the government say we can meet six people in an open space, I better lose those pounds. But at least I don't have to shave my pits because we're still 2 meters away. So what I've been doing is, oh my gosh, if you've been following me on our Instagram account, I've been doing intermittent fasting, which is okay for the most part, but it's always the battle between, I want to lose weight, but man, I need that drink and some pasta now. So we come to our topic today, which it isn't diets. Thank God, don't worry, but I'm sure that will get covered. It is eating, of course. So please welcome, as always, unless she's organising a street party, it's the, oh, I've forgotten his name. I've left a blankie and I didn't put it in. But, you know, the other one to Elton John, she's the other one to my Elton John. It's Gemma Beagley.
Yay.
Bernie Taupin or
That's
David Furnish?
Both of them.
Or Kiki D. You're go on.
You're all of those to me, darling. in joke, she hates a street party. Our guest today, she's a previous guest, so this is an official check-in just to make sure she's alive and she's well. She's a stand-up writer and actress. Yes, she's all of those. You would have seen her in TV things like Motherland, Cuckoo, the Maggie, and I can't remember the whole name of that program, but I saw her in it. I'm really good presenter, aren't I? Whatever happened to Maggie something? Anyway.
And I'll tell you, there's this really good website called Google. It's okay. Really good. You should check it out.
I don't get time. And live at the Apollo, that bloody clip on that about tantrums was one of the most shared, let's just say that. Her Edinburgh show, Hench, was nominated for Best Show. She's a regular co-host of Guilty Feminist and her own podcast, Hoovering, about eating. It's my charm and yours, Jessica Fossicue.
Yes!
Hello.
But you know what I did? I left little gaps to fill in things and I forgot to fill them in. we had Kerry Howard on here, the first one of the series, and of course she was in the Maggie, the Dawn French, new Dawn French series.
The Trouble with Maggie Cole.
That's it. I got Maggie Cole right.
Yeah, when we were making it, when it was in production, it was called, because it's all about a village and gossip, and Dawn French's character is called Maggie Cole, incidentally, and it had a brilliant title. It was called Glass Houses, as in,
oh,
don't throw stones in. But it was brilliant, and we all got these lovely like tea towels and tote bags and all these lovely prezzies off.
Did you?
Glass house. I know, I've got a bottle
merch.
Of merch branded from the pretend from the fictional village Thirlbury. It was so nice. We all loved the name of it, and then ITV made them change it to The Trouble with Maggie Cole. And the screen, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but the screening, we all had a laugh saying they might as well have called it It's Got Dawn French in It.
I think, don't ITV have to have somebody's name in a title exactly. Of any programs? Yeah,
because
sure.
It's very much like you know, the other, well, it's got a similar feel, and he's got he's also set in like the sort of countryside. And he's got his name.
Midsummer
in
Murders.
No, God's sake, I'm terrible tonight.
I know what you mean. Reg something or?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I know. Is it Martin Clunes? Is it
Martin Clunes one? Yeah.
Yeah. It's Doctor, called, it's got Martin Clunes in it.
Doc Martin.
Doc Martin.
Doc Martin. See? It's that sort of like...
Oh, I've never seen that, you know. My mum loves that.
I've seen clips of it. Yeah, I've seen clips of it. I'll be honest, I've seen clips of it. It's very comforting,
like a slightly more thrilling late night soap opera, isn't it?
But yeah.
With an incredible cast, not me.
It's on ITV3, I think, and I think my mum is the only person that watches ITV3. They are literally just keeping it for her.
Well done for getting that, Jess. Me and you would be good in that game, you know, where you have to sort of like guess each other's things. I can't believe you got that. Okay, so let's do our new feature, quickfire round, where we could really get to know the deep you, Jessica. Okay, so it's just you just have a choice between two things. So are you mayo or salad cream?
Mayo. I'm not a man.
Diet Coke or ice cold water?
Diet Coke. Why do you want something that tastes like nothing? Something.
Fish and chips or Chinese?
Brutal. That's a horrible
question. Oh, sorry.
Which is my favourite child. I'm from the seaside, so I'll say fish and chips.
Okay. Hands in the air at a music festival or hands down your pants watching Ordinary People? She's got racy tonight.
Oh,
disgusting.
Sorry, I've got very rude this week.
Pants.
Yeah. Well, I say yeah. I mean, I'd be hands down my pants at a festival. yeah, I don't know. I've been doing lots of a few Zoom gigs and stuff, and I've sort of turned into this sort of carry on version of myself. But anyway, I think it's always been there. It's just the lockdown has brought it out. Yeah. I've mentioned flicking off my bean. I've mentioned and tingles in my fanny. That was two sentences that were said in two gigs this week. I don't know.
Beautiful.
Anyway, enough about me. So we're going to talk about eating. And thank you for agreeing to talk about this, because I know obviously you do a wonderful podcast about it, but we haven't covered it, so we thought be a good one to cover, and you're the best person to cover it with. So let's first of all talk about lockdown eating then, because I can only speak for myself when I think we're pretty much eating the same really, but just I don't know. Do you think you're just more of it? I mean, the first couple of weeks was it did feel like I'm not gonna compare it to losing my mum, but when I first left my mum, it was like you were just like takeaways, drinking brandy every night, you know. You just like a bit like when you first come home with a newborn baby. It's just like
it chaos. Is similar to those things, not to, and I'm not belittling those things, personal trauma, but I think it has been a really emotional, massive, collective trauma. And I think it wasn't just eating, like, you know, it took us all a bit of time to come to terms with the fact that we might not be as productive as we'd want to be. You know, immediately people were saying, yeah, exercise, write a book, you know, keep a diary, even all this stuff where actually if your mental health has gone to the dogs, then that stuff's impossible. I really wish that the message, and it certainly was from, if you look in nice good places, was just, well, actually just survive this for a few weeks until you sort yourself out. And I think the same goes for how you eat, you know. I don't know, my I would say in terms of lockdown, my eating changed only in the sense that I'm not on the road, so I'm not like, I love eating out. Like, I love eating. And by that, I don't always mean snazzy. I just mean everywhere from a Pret to a kebab to a Wagamama's. Like, you know, you're out and about. Like, you know, you can't eat at home and cook all your meals as much as I'd always wanted to. So actually, I spent probably the first month of this really loving the fact that I had the headspace to go, well, I'm going to plan what I'm going to cook. I'm not going to the supermarket more than once a week. Once I left in 2 weeks, almost as best to see if I could. And to just sort of be as good as I could, you know, morally about the shopping. Right in the belly of lockdown, I mean. And then, so you are cooking everything at home. And so I was eating everything home cooked. But I'd be honest, month into that and the sheen of that wore off, I just desperately started like longing to, and it's not just to have something someone else had made, but also to sit with other people and have it. Like, it's been me and a really ungrateful, not always, but often very ungrateful fussy. Just that really, cooking more has been the main difference. I think there's been all sorts of like things in terms of one lovely story is, and there's a place at the end of my road where we where I love taking my son. He loves it. It was just the same thing. There's a waitress there that loves him. It's one of the like a local basically, and they do amazing falafel. Anyway, I saw that they were closed initially, and then I saw that they started doing takeaways. So, and I've never got a takeaway with him before, so I was like, let's get dinner from the factory. And he was like, I don't get it, it's closed. What do you mean? And I was like, it's called a takeaway. And he was like, what? Like, and he just hadn't, it seemed to have his head around, but he hadn't quite got it. And then I was, you know, I had it up on Deliveroo, and I was like, so, you know, what do you want then? Do you want your usual? And he was like, what? I can have chicken dippers and chips.
Mind blown.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's so cute.
So excited. Anyway, he was so excited that when the door went, it was quick as well, because it's just the end of the road. He was leaping up and down, and then he was like, he just left it on the floor. He's left it on the floor. And I was like, yeah. I put it on the table in the lounge. He's dancing around the table, and then he was like opening it up, and he opened up the first sort of box, and he went, they've already cooked it. I thought we were getting like one of those, you know, not that I've ever even got one of those boxes of HelloFresh or whatever where you cook it at home. He just had amazing. I will never ever forget watching someone have their first takeaway. Mind blown. And I was like, yeah, I need to stay that excited about every takeaway, because it is a lovely way to live, isn't it? But that is a lush treat.
I had a similar, I took my nephew for his first, it was Burger King, and he would have been about 4, I think. And my boyfriend at the time went to the counter. We were sat down, and brings back this tray of food. And he's just like, did you cook this? It's like, no, we got it from over there. Just couldn't understand it. And then he was eating his burger. I said, you're right, William. And he's just, I'm so happy. He says, I wish I was that. You know, I can be that excited about the, you know, the chicken dippers and chips turning up.
But did you, this is jumping way ahead now, but you've got to go with the flow. When you were children, the only sort of takeaways we got was from the chip van that used to drive around. This sounds very like I grew up in the 1940s. And the chips were always not great, but they were great because they were from the chip van. They were a bit raw sometimes. And you know, you get the odd raw one, but it smelled lovely, and the smell was it was just gorgeous. But apart from that, I didn't really, because we talk about this a lot, because Hux has been very devastated about the closure of cafes, and we're walking past the sports center, and I went, oh, Hux. And he went, oh, I can't wait to go in there. And I went, yeah, Hux, I can't wait to go swimming. And he went, I can't wait to go to the cafe. So he's a cafe living boy. But I, at his age, and he's 4 and a half, nearly 5, not long to go, I definitely, I don't think, maybe I went to a wimpy party, but I definitely didn't go to cafes and restaurants. And the only takeaways I remember was the chip shop, really.
Yeah.
At that age.
We had fish and chips every Friday. Friday we'd have fish and chips.
Did you try the sea, both of you?
No.
But I don't think I don't think I went to a restaurant till I was about 12, 13. Yeah, we'd never go. There's so many, there's about a million of us, so you couldn't, we wouldn't be able to all sit at one table.
She's one of four, aren't you? Yeah, like me.
Mine
was, I grew up by the sea, so we definitely had fish and chips, but not with any regularity.
Right.
They were, I do fundamentally agree, Hats, that I think the smell of salty chip shop chips is nothing better.
Yeah. Nothing.
My mouth's just gone.
Yeah!
I do think the smell's always a bit better than the taste, apart from the few times where I've had, like, you know, some chef's done some magic. they were good. Like, that is, I still love fish and chips. That's why I hated that call you made me make earlier.
Mm. You see, I think I would have said Chinese because my my Chinese takeaway does very good chips. It's not as good as
Stop it, Chinese bloody chips.
You're not like Chinese chips.
You don't get chips from the Chinese.
I do. Am I really common?
Oh my God. Dear goodness.
I want to try it. Do you know what? That's one of those things. It's like, it's just a, it must just be like, well, lived experience, but then also what stopped me? It's only snobbery. I've never in my life.
But I'm snobbery about curry. If someone gets curry and they get chips, I'm like, oh no.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In Wales, it's really normal to have half and half, half rice, half chips with your curry.
Oh.
And I had it like in this, somewhere I was going for a gig, which they were like, do you want a half and half? And I was like, pardon? She said, do you want half and half, chips and rice? I was like, yes. And it was so good. It's such a great idea.
That is a great idea. I wonder if it's like an further up north thing, because I don't know if you've had any northerners on your show to say about this, but obviously this is a question you ask them, but I remember when I went to visit a northern boyfriend of mine's parents, and I was saying what I wanted, I can't remember, and his dad was, do you want full or do you want a half portion? And up north they do like half portions, so if you're getting your tikka
masala, like that, that's a bit shaming, isn't it? You'd be like, full portion. But now that you've asked...
The boyfriend went, Dad, let her have a full portion!
Well, these days I'd be like, full, you idiot. Who do you think you're talking to? But I'm, as a younger woman, I'd have been like,
yeah.
Half.
And then is that just a quick a northern equivalent of saying, say when? Is it like, say when, you know?
Yeah.
I liked it, though, because sometimes, like, oh, God, this is so boring.
Not boring, it's not.
If I'm getting... okay, let's just talk about a typical order. If I'm getting a curry, I might get tikka masala and then some sides, but I can never
what eat sides?
The whole
what
tikka sides masala. Getting I'm getting and then I'm getting sag paneer,
yeah, boy.
Oh, cheesy,
and then I'll get some. I'm trying to watch my weight so I don't get.
You are speaking to the wrong fucking person.
You are speaking to the wrong fucking person, mate.
So, why? Why?
I mean, it's just the last thing.
I know. Don't bother. So yeah. If I'm feeling like I want it better be good, I don't get a garlic naan. I get a...
chapati.
Paratha. Paratha, darling. And
what's absolute bollocks. I'm sure there is so little difference.
I know. And then I'll get, wait for this, coconut rice. There you go.
But yeah. Curry?
Yeah.
It's a popular choice, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't, do you know what? I don't mind coconut rice, but what does offend me is coconut and egg fried rice from a Chinese takeaway. Don't want a coconut near my egg.
No. I can't believe this is what we've dived in at. we were talking about, what about you, Gemma? Lockdown eating? Do you feel like it's...
Well, I'm a milk
man. Is your son a good eater? I can't... He's not bad. Oh, no. No, we've had this. He's beige, like Huck.
He's beige, like me. I mean, if I tell you what I had for dinner tonight, I had my friend FaceTime me before this Zoom call as I was eating dinner. She says, what are you having? I said, I'm not telling you because I'm embarrassed. I had two chicken Kievs and two fucking bird's eye potato waffles, mate. Not one bit of green on my plate.
Not one bit of green.
And that's where I've got... See, before lockdown, I wasn't eating beige. I was cooking and freezing, batch cooking, freezing, planning meals, all that sort of stuff, just for convenience and money. Forget it's out the window.
Really?
Oh, my God.
You can only do it for so long. Like, it's not the olden days. I think there was, like, a nostalgic loveliness to it. And then actually, there's so much joy in a beige. I think, have a bloody beige dinner, mate. Just shift the shame. There's so much, I'm going to, it's so hard not to get all high horsey, but there's so much unhelpfulness and snobbery. There's a brilliant Grace Dent article on this about the way people talk about processed food, the way middle-class food writers talk about it. And now it's in all of our language, just words like junk food, rubbish, crap, dirty burger, like all of that language. It's all fun and it's all fine, but ultimately it's all snobbery. It's all class snobbery at the end. It's bollocks. I mean, fine, like it's not nutritionally balanced, but if you detach all your class preconceptions and then all of your like emotional attachments to what you feel you should or shouldn't be eating, and shame in like all these ideas on being good and being bad, if you take that all away and just have a nice time, you have a really happy life.
Hooray!
There she goes, you see.
Well, my dream is to open a cafe and just sort of call it Kids Dinners, and like, because that's all we all want. We all want to have some, you know, waffles and beans and
I've never not got waffles in my freezer ever.
Oh, really?
Oh,
off Ashling B, actually, that you can do them in the toaster.
Oh yes, I forget about that. That's a good question, actually. What do you always have in your fridge and freezer?
Well, it sort of shifts, but in the last couple of years, I never won't have waffles. It's so quick, it's just so quick, and they're lush.
Yeah, we call it a panic. Like, there's certain things that, like, if we haven't got them in, it's like, you know, the bread panic, obviously, is typical, but that's typical. But yeah, waffle panic, we'd call that. What do you always have in, Gemma?
It's for him mainly. So it'll be nuggets. We're on a nuggets, sausages, pasta pesto rotation, basically.
I mean, we're all just cooking
all the carbs. Yeah,
we're all just cooking so much. Oh yeah,
I'm into them. I think that's because I'm lucky enough to have a garden, so I've got the old disposable barbecues going recently.
Ooh.
And then yeah, you do feel really pious when on top of whatever sausage and burgers you've got down your kid, you've managed to get them to gnaw a corn on the cob like a Viking as well.
But it's, staying on that topic, I guess, with the... Is Rudy quite a good eater with...
He historically is. He's adventurous, I think, for a kid, talking to other mates, you know, like he'll have a bit of... He'll generally have a bit of...
He'll have a bit of spice, won't he? I'm sure when I came round last time you
really?
Said...
Really?
He'll have a bit. He'll normally have a try of anything. But, like, he's sort of got to a point now, like, pre-lockdown, he got to a point where he's like, you know, he'll just sort of say, I don't really like spicy things. My mum really does. And, like, my dad really doesn't. He's like me. he'll, like, chat it through. And he'll be like, I just actually, like... But also now he's at... During lockdown, he had a couple of weeks of being really the fussiest I've ever known him. I did a pasta once. Like, the night before I'd got away, right, with... I got just a margarita pizza. And then I add some courgettes and some peppers that needed eating up. So I just chop them. And if he sees a big thing, he'll be like, well, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I reckon this is quite a canny tip. Although I'm not saying it'll work more than once for me. I've not tried it again. I chopped them dead tiny and did a layer on top of the original pre-bought pizza. And then once the I grated a whole another layer of cheddar on.
Fucking hide it.
So they welded in. They welded it in. You couldn't have even flipped them off. You'd have had to have gone so... You'd have had to have been surgeons.
It was ruined it.
All to have even seen it. It didn't even... That was a great night. So the next day, I tried to do the same, similar sort of thing with some pasta, but obviously it wasn't sort of tucked away enough. And he kicked right off. He was really livid. He was like, I don't want to eat this. I don't even need to try it to know I hate it. I can see three things. There's three things and now I hate. And then it's the same night that he coined the phrase sweet mains. He was like, I just want to have my... I don't want mains. I don't like any mains anymore. I just want sweet mains now. And I was like, we're calling it sweet mains doesn't mean you get to just have pudding. And then he was going,
sweet mains is pudding.
Yeah.
Right.
He's rebranded it to try and get...
He's rebranded it. He's just saying, yeah, like, miss out.
The mains, yeah.
He's clever.
Clever. And he was like, my only mains I like are pizza. And then he walked off and then he came back and he went, and burger. And then he walked off and then he came back and he went, and he kept listing new things. And then eventually he went, and pasta. I was like, this is fucking pasta. And he went, it's not pasta anymore. There's three things in it I hate. And then, but even that, in fairness to him, kicked off, chucking all furniture about inside. I thought, I hate mine. And I just left it there. And I stuck a couple of brooms next to each other in the garden and put a towel over them and went, there's a den there if you want to eat it in that. And he went, all right. And he went and sat in it. And he probably had about four spoons, but that'll do me. So he put some of it away. But it's willfulness. It's pushing boundaries. I don't think there's lots of food he doesn't like, but he's at an age where he's not easygoing.
I think, well, I bloody hope that is, because ours are about the same age. Yeah. And, well, all our boys are. Alistair's the oldest, I think. He's
October, yeah.
Yeah, so he's already five.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I hope it is. We have such issues with Hux and his food now, but I think it is like, I mean, especially with this lockdown, because it's just like, you're just cooking all the bloody time. And I've really shouted, was it, I don't know, they're all rolling into each day, but yesterday I really shouted at him because I put the plate down and I must have got, you know, like 4 meters and he's got down and I've gone, what? And he's like, you know, I don't like this. And it's the same shouting. And it is just because it's not, he's got set meals that he likes, and yeah, like you say, it's not. See, I couldn't hide. He's such a detective. You should see him picking off. There'll be like little tiny herbs. It'd be like a pasta has to be so plain, but if he sees little tiny bit, and I don't mean pepper, I mean like, you know, like mixed herbs. That might, yeah. He's picking. Do you know what he was doing the other day? He doesn't like. He likes burger buns, but he doesn't like the ones with seeds on, and. Oh. He was picking off the fucking seeds.
You know what this is? Because of the fucking brioche. There was no fucking brioche when I was a kid. Yeah, shiny bread.
Bread.
They love a shiny bread. So it is just a battle. And then I've got Buster, who's nearly two. And he, oh my God, he eats everything, Jess. He eats everything. It's amazing. And like we did a long distance, Aggie's long distance picnic with my sister and I. And my niece went, I don't think I've seen Buster stop eating. And what is he? I mean, he's nearly two. He shouldn't be eating crayons and that still. But he does. I think he just has to have something.
I think so. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think he says. What was the worst one? Oh, the other day, I've got a... So this is so embarrassing. I do feed him a handheld Hoover that my husband got me for Christmas. I did ask for it. I know, so modern. And I caught him with it, and he likes to play with it. And you know, fuck it, I let him play with it. He doesn't. No offense, but it doesn't suck very hard. I think it must have got me a cheap one. And so I let him play with it, and then I caught him, and he's shaking stuff out of it, and he's found an old bit of Satsuma.
Oh fuck.
One eating nothing and the other one eating his scraps. He will eat what he leaves. It's just, but and Hux was never like that. So I do wonder whether I think Hux is just going to be, Hux is a bit like me, to be honest. I was a bit funny. I was picking off things and stuff. But up to a certain age.
I was chatting to my mate the other day, we were talking about the whole eating thing, and she was saying that, oh, so-and-so's good, he's a good eater. Oh, well, we've always eaten together. He's always eaten what we've eaten. And
God.
This, yeah, and I can't, instantly I just feel inferior. But what do you think about that? Do you believe them?
What, the whole, always...
they eat what I eat and whatever.
Well, then again, I think they might not be... balls out lying, but also
do you mean do you mean like if they don't eat what we're eating, that's it, they don't eat thing, or are you talking about all eating together at a table?
Both. So they're eating, they're having dinner together and they're all eating, so they're getting a smaller portion of freaking prawn biryani or whatever.
Right,
I think it might be true, But from as someone who's got a kid who'll try most things, but what they're the mistake they're making is making it sound like that's anything to do with something they've done.
Yeah.
It's just luck. Like you were saying about Buster versus Hux, ultimately it's personality type. And I reckon even those kids who'd be like, unless you've got a really precocious kid who's like, may I try the Vindaloo? then I think there'll be an age, because I'm hoping that it's kind of all four-year-olds.
Yeah.
And five-year-olds and maybe even six-year-olds, I don't know, who get, you know, it's all power play. It's got nothing to do with what they like at eating. It's what they like at everything.
Yes.
It's arguing. They just want to argue about everything, and everything needs to sound like it's their idea, unless they're in one of their lovely days where they'll be like, yes, I'll do that. You know, then I don't believe that there are families out there who've never once had a kid not do exactly what they wanted on the eating.
Yeah.
It's just the trying thing, isn't it? I hate it. I hate that he won't eat. And he goes, I don't like it. And I go, you haven't tried this. This is a brand new thing. And or whatever. And he goes, I know, I don't like it. And then just has such a tantrum. And we have a lot of tantrums with him. So we have to choose our battles. And, but yeah, I don't know. I hate the whole thing of like, if they're hungry, you know, they'll eat it. And sometimes if you've had a day and he hasn't had many snacks, I'll be honest, I do notice that he's more likely to try things, but I can't always do that because I just want a quiet life.
Yeah, you also need to get through that day.
And yeah, a quiet life of snacks.
Without many snacks, it's just a particularly distracted day. It's tough.
Here's something, hey. Yes. So I've started ordering from a milkman.
Yeah, I order with them.
So I so I thought, well, we eat a lot of fruit in this house. I eat a lot of fruit just to stop myself eating Kit Kats all day. So I thought, well, I'll get a fruit box from them. So it's the third fucking week.
Oh no.
He's fucking turned up with a papaya. The size of the fucking thing. Like that. It's bigger than my head. Have you ever had papaya?
No.
It tastes, you think, oh, look at that, it's like a mango, right? It tastes of nothing.
Really? And
apparently, you're supposed to put lemon juice on it to draw out the flavour.
Oh, God.
Of lemon.
Do you know, I don't know if you can freeze it and just use it for medicinal purposes, but I've been told by a couple of people now, this doesn't mean it's true, but that there's an enzyme in it that helps you break down things in a certain way, that it's really effective if you've ever got constipation, papaya.
You've got to put it in a smoothie then, Gemma.
You know what? I'm not very regular. I might.
Get it in a smoothie. Do you know what, mate? Just endure it.
Do
throw the papaya. I can get it in there.
Yeah.
It's a happening.
I couldn't believe it. This morning, I thought, if I open this box and there's a fucking papaya in here.
So you don't know what you're going to get. It's just random.
Well, I've cancelled it now. I'm just going to assume that they're going to send me a papaya every week. I'm not paying £15 for a papaya, a pack of fucking blueberries and four pears. Works. I'm going back to Morrison's.
That's so random.
Yeah.
I've had the same thing, but it's far less exotic. I get, I really love them, but I get this odd, it's called Odd Box, and it's like
veg
that gets rejected from supermarkets, always surplus to what was bought by supermarkets. And I just never want to see another cabbage again.
Oh, is it always cabbage in there?
Cabbage over lockdown, to the point where, and I hate myself for it, I made kimchi at home.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
I don't know what kimchi is. Is it a posh thing?
It's this Korean pickle that you normally have like a tiny little bit on the edge of your plate, but it's really nice.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It's fermented, so it's good for your gut in the same way that kefir and kombucha and all of that stuff, or yogurt is
good for just digestive and all that.
Yeah.
Made up shit,
isn't that a made up word?
It is, yeah.
Bifidus digestion. I love it.
Bifidus digestivum.
Oh, that's the sort of shit I used to have to say doing promo work. This is you just get, well, Jess knows a bit about doing promo work. You just get told all these words you're meant to say for different creams or something. It's got all this. Anyway, we can sell anything to anyone. Okay. We've sort of covered the kids, I think. So, obviously, Jess, you do hoovering, and I thought it's a bit of a big question, really. With you, I just thought about what have you learned from your doing your podcast, like talking to so many different people. I know it's hard to answer that in one word or one line, but is there anything particularly? I mean, how many series have you been doing now?
Oh, I don't know. Do you know what? I've not done it as a series, but it was 2 years in January this year, so
a bit
years.
That makes sense because I was pregnant when I did. So that was quite early on.
And I bought you that shit soup. Was that another time?
wasn't shit.
That tasted of nothing. I'd have taken a papaya over the shit soup I bought. Anyway, I've got a little curse on Hattie. I feel like I never make.
It feels like she doesn't do well with things that she's cooked me because it was soup. And then what was something else that you felt didn't go well? A bread, banana bread.
Oh, I made you something way too spicy. You came round and I made this like cod in this supposed to be very mildly spicy tomato base with like tahini on the top, and you were like, oh. And the best thing you could think to say was, "I'm getting it down, me."
No, I'm getting through it. I think I said I'm getting through it. Because you said you were right. I went, I'm getting through it.
Oh, I felt so bad.
I honestly did enjoy. I do think I have some kind of weird allergic, like almost allergic reaction with chili because
I think there was a really hot chili in it. It's never turned out that hot before. big red chilies. They're not normally that. Sorry, Hats.
I have a weird thing because I kind of like spicy stuff, but it's like it doesn't like me. It's like it's literally my tongue is on fire and I can't understand why other people don't feel it. I'm like, are you not getting this as well? My mouth is on fire.
Well, that sounds physiological though. People don't have the same experience. It's fair enough. I won't make you anything with a chili in again, Hats.
Wow. I honestly did enjoy it, but I was pouring quite a lot of the wine.
That was my story all along. Get
what were we talking about?
To answer your question,
the podcast.
I learn anything.
Yes.
From the podcast. Yeah, loads. Very quickly, I learned that there's no such thing as normal eating, and that a lot of I think I'd had. The answer is so massive, but I'll try and do it very short. I just before I started the podcast, I thought I'm going to start to. I had a therapist anyway. I quite often felt very, very overwhelmed with my workload, and not, you know, not right in the head. Even when I got good news, I'd be panicking and upset because I didn't know how to manage everything. So I had a therapist anyway, and I thought, well, if I'm going to do a podcast about eating, I should talk to the therapist about my relationship with eating and sort clear out any skeletons in my closet, really.
Okay.
Because years ago, the only other therapist I'd had a heartbreak, and I got a therapist, so I was fucking miserable. And we'd got on really well. And after about a year when things were sort of all right again, she randomly said to me one day, oh, how are you with eating? And what's your relationship like with eating? And I was like, oh yeah, great, yeah, love it. And she went, oh right. And I was like, yeah, I love it, lovely. And she went, oh, so what have you eaten today? And I was like, and I felt like she'd asked me to take my clothes off. It felt like the most personal question I'd ever been asked ever. And I was like, listen, she clearly was like, ooh, she wasn't ready for that question. So I knew that I had to, before I started a podcast about eating, start delving into it. And I'm
sorry, Jess, had she spotted something in you to ask that question, or was it just something like an admin question?
I think so. I think in terms of, I don't know whether it was a full-on admin question. I'd never brought it up. She genuinely asked it in the same way that you'd ask about, I mean, she might have been like, this isn't a thin person, let's ask about eating. I don't know. I've never thought about it like that, though. It certainly is not what it felt like. Mm. It felt like a similar question to, and how are you with drinking? Or, and how are you with drugs? Or, it felt like that. And that's how I heard it. And that's why the question was so loaded. Because I had been eating in a very disordered way.
Right.
Ever since I was 11. And so I knew, I did know I had shit to sort out, So weirdly, I've learned over the 2 years of doing the podcast have coincided with probably the first 6-8 months of the podcast were quite deep therapy to sort out my disordered eating, which is, you know, as a teenager, I flirted with all the sexy types of disordered eating.
All the big names.
Yeah.
All the big names. But ultimately, at one point, my shrink sent me a thing saying, it was like, she was like, it just print out this PDF, and it was all like about binge eating disorder. And I was like, excuse me. And then read it and was like, oh, fuck. That is me. And not everything that my therapist, I've learned more from my podcast than I have from my therapist. I've learned that 99.9% of people, women specifically, eat in a disordered way. And I would count, I don't mean have eating disorders. That's too big and an enormous a thing. But I'd say have a complicated relationship with eating. So have some disordered eating. And by which I mean, we fucking think about it too much.
Yes.
The fact that even, you know, from the top of this, like, well, I would love there to be a day where, you know, we've all just had this lockdown. We might have eaten more biscuits than we had before, but we didn't but no one gave a fuck. There was no need for any attempted intermittent anything.
I was going to get to that in a minute.
I get it. I 100% get it. But I am now, I've just learned from the podcast and everything that for me, like, I just have to have whatever I want, whenever I want, and be intuitive and listen to my body. And by that, I don't mean like, be like, all day and all night. There might be days like that. But because actually, if you do psychologically allow yourself to have whatever you want, whenever you want, genuinely, without any like shame,
conditions,
and rules or shame, and it's mainly shame, or you can detach it from. I think you can sort your eating out before you sorted out your ideas of your own body. I've got a lot of work to do on that. I feel so grateful that I've gone into this lockdown with the work that's done, because you're just so much happier. And actually, you think, well, if I'm allowed what I want whenever I want, I'll just eat loads of shit all the time, won't I? And actually, that's not how it works. It's quite the opposite. It might be initially, but then you calm down, like, because actually it's not what your body doesn't want shit all the time, and your body will be like, well, you felt sick then, so you won't. Anyway, I'm getting too deep into it. I've learned so much from my podcast about how normal it is to be really complicated, and how brutally exhausting it is, how much time women especially waste worrying about their bodies.
I think I think me and Gemma are both like...
Shut up now.
I know at the beginning when I said intermittent fasting, you sort of, your eyes went, oh, and I thought, and I'm sort of annoyed with myself for being on it in a way, but I think to give you a brief history, I got overactive thyroid after both pregnancies. And I think having been somebody who, as I would say, I think I used the term on your podcast, a plate watcher. Once a plate watcher, always a plate watcher. Yeah. So I did have anorexia when I was 13, 14. And I think I did quite well getting over it. And then, but it, like you say, it's just that exhausting thing of wanting to think about it. Then I got, I think, a lot better in and out. But then having the overactive thyroid was just like, I can eat what I want. Yeah. And it was one of the most happiest times of my life because I didn't think about it. It was so nice not to have to think about it. But now it's gone back normal. And I think I've had that overactive thyroid so long now that it's like getting back to being a teenager again. So I panicked and I just was like, what is this way? I really panicked. And I thought, like you, because I think about food so much, I thought the fasting was a good way of not... It's just clear cut, like you're not eating for these times, as opposed to better not eat carb, better not. And I hate all that, you know, counting calories. And that's why I was trying it. And because obviously it's meant to be healthier and help you sleep and all those stuff. But it's all right. But it's not really always working out with having kids, because it's like in the morning, you know, I just want to have my bloody breakfast and I'm feeling a bit, you know, trembly. And I'm like, I want to eat. And they're like shouting and I'm like, ah. So that's what that was. Sorry, Gemma, go on.
Well, I was going to ask Jess, has the experiences that you've had on the podcast, that helped you write your Perio nominated show? Yes. Hench. Yeah. So, it sounds like the kind of, the, not the attitude, the spirit or whatever.
Absolutely, yeah. Originally, I was going to write a show about strength, and it's still sort of that, but I was, by the end, I'd realised I'd written a show about, I think, much more about gender and bodies than about strength. Yeah, that's the answer to that, really. But I also did want to say, like, hats, no judgment. Like, I just think it's zero fucking judgment, honestly. Like, and I think it's the noise in the world for women to not be fat, essentially, or whatever their idea of fat is so loud that I would never, ever, 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 ever judge anyone because I'm hearing it too. Like, and I know how hard it is not to listen. It is possible to not listen eventually, but not for everyone. I'm very lucky, maybe, you know, that I've immersed myself in a... I remember I did a thing, I spoke to Sophie Hagen, who's a really interesting, intelligent, fat activist, and she sort of curveballed me by going, how do you do that podcast? How do you talk to all these people who are talking about what diet they're on all the time and, you know, saying toxic stuff all the time? And I was like, oh, I'd never thought about it like that. I've only taken good. Like, I've never once, like, in the context of conversations exactly like these, really, there's no judgment. Everybody's just getting by with however they need to get by. It's, you know, it's just... It's fundamentally that thing, isn't it, I think? You just got to do what you think's going to make you happy. And I've learned that it's not caring very much what I... But I'm also very lucky. I like lots of vegetables and stuff, I suppose, and have access to everything I need.
I think you look great at the moment. I mean, you always look great, but you can just see it. I think sometimes something just clicks, doesn't it? And it's like it's clicked in you, and that I want to get there again. I feel like I had it and then I lost it again.
What do you mean, though?
Like a good attitude with food and stuff. Right, I mean. Yeah.
But that's what I remember. Like, I know we're allowed our six mates now, but we're in the middle of a fucking massive bit of history.
This is huge. I know.
Anything goes. Like, who fucking cares if our clothes are a bit tight?
But that's it. I don't care. Like, you know, my sisters are all big and a lot bigger than me, and I think they all look beautiful and I think they look great. It's not about look. It's just how you feel. It's cliche.
No, but also, it's normal. I think that's my point. It's normal. Everybody, you know, they're going to have days during this, but we've not seen anyone. I saw some mates I hadn't seen for a little while, two of them from very far away, outside, obviously. We all came away from it going, God, I've got no social skills. I was so excited about it. And then got there and was like, where's the loo? Like, it was so hot. Oh, God. Zero chat. These are weird times. And I think in terms of self-perception, especially as I think one really interesting thing about lockdown is, and self-perception is, our only way to have nice, jolly, interesting, interactive chats with anyone that we don't live with is this. It's over Zoom. So you can't talk to people without also having a look at yourself. And there's a cruel irony in doing that exactly the same time as we're all taking the least fucking care we ever have.
Well, you'd agree, Gemma. This series, since lockdown, they've been very deep, haven't they? All of them. It's like something about Zoom and I don't know. I don't know if it's Zoom or just lockdown. The whole thing, I think, that the podcasts have been quite deep, much deeper than when
that's
we're all
good. Deep. I think that's an upside of how much time everybody's spending in their own head.
Yeah.
I think as well that this is as a medium has been interesting, completely flipping the bloody subject now, but there's a guy that in real life is creepy. He's just got creepy aura, but just creepy. This is something creepy. But you know what? Online, he's not, it's like the creepiness isn't there. It's like, you know, it's like he's found his medium. That's kind of how he's a sort of not a creep. So he's delighted, and you can tell that he's delighted that, you know, he doesn't have to go out and he can just appear as a head on a video.
I've seen that with some, I'm not obviously going to name certain comedians that doing certain things online, and I'm like, I think you really work online. You seem, it comes across funnier.
Certain things.
Certain things that you're saying, you know, they are saying.
The sociopath's hats. The ones with the dead eyes.
Oh God, we're becoming the same. We've got to finish up soon, but we've covered all that. We can sort of, it'll G it up a bit now. Not that it's not been G'd up, but you know what I mean.
Right. Sorry if I G'd it down.
No, not at all. But what I'm trying to say is I don't want this to seem
flippant.
Flippant. That's the bloody word I'm looking for. I was going to say, you know, you always say you're a professional twerp.
Yes. Yeah.
On your, because my sister says the word twerp. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, where does it really come from, the word twerp?
Well, I don't know the etymology. It's just a lovely twit and twerp. Lush little words, aren't they?
Sister said, we were on a sister Zoom chat, and she said, this bloke came into, she works in Asda, she came into Asda, oh, he's a right twerp, and blah, 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 blah. And she was just like, twerp, twerp. And my other sister went, she was like, well, I think we can all take from today. I was going to say the lovely thing about lockdown is spending time together on Zoom, but really, we've all learned the word twerp. So it's all become, it's now our WhatsApp chat is just the twerps. So what we'd like you to do is take us through a child-free night out. So you have to tell us what you're eating, what you're wearing, who you're with. I mean, you could be on your own if you really wanted, where you're going. And you can go anywhere. You can, you know, you can get a helicopter. We've now got a standard question. Have you ever been in a helicopter?
No. No, I haven't.
That's end of that feature. Don't just scrap that idea.
Let's scrap that feature, Gemma.
There's not enough people that have been in a helicopter to work that question.
Very random. You get one that does that.
We've had one. That's it. Yeah. Just like some stupid thing. Anyway.
You just brought our ratio down to 50%. Yes.
So
don't scrap the feature because, yeah.
So you're on your night out, sure, which now would obviously be an absolute dream.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to do maybe a sort of fantastical amount of things for one night. And then just really cram it all in. So I will, I'll start it in the afternoon and we'll go for dim sum, like all Chinese dumplings and little bits and bobs.
Chips.
I won't get chips. No, it's Chinese food, Patty.
Oh, you're just so making me want chips now.
I know. I would like some chips. And then, I'm going to go bowling, 10-pin bowling. Not very good at it. Always loved it. Then I'm going to go to the cinema. I'm going to watch two films on the bounce. Mm. Snacks during that will include the nachos with the filthy hot yellow, whatever that is. And chilies, and popcorn, and a snuck bottle of wine in. Now I'm a grown up. I'll do all of this with my girlfriend, Steph. And then
I'm just gonna say who you're with. Okay.
Yeah. And then for the bits like bowling, we'll meet up with my absolute best mates in the world, all of them. Absolutely all of them. Please make the beast. About 100 people at each event. and then I'd like to go, I'll do an escape room. And then I'll go and do, am I allowed all these?
Yeah.
And then I will go and do, there's this really fun place where you can do like crazy golf indoors and have a beer at all the different stop-off points. I'll go and do that. This is my own hen do.
yes, I was going to say, if it ever comes up, I now know what to arrange.
Yeah, and then after that, I want to go to like a Michelin starred restaurant and I get like the full taster menu, the wine menu. And then I want to go home. I don't want any dancing. We can stop at a pub. We can go to a pub for one or two between each thing. I'm making the night take a week.
See, because I've never really been out with you, you know, out, you know, it's just been like drinks after a gig and stuff like that. And I feel like I didn't.
I'm not I'm not a singer and dancer unless it's at your birthday.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I feel like I put you through pain now, coming to my karaoke.
Don't get me wrong, I'll endure it for a dear friend. But it's
so you
not
like doing an activity then on a night out?
I do, yeah.
Bloody and, golf. Bloody crazy golf.
Energy. If I was a younger person, if this was the dream, I love crazy golf. None of these are things I'm very good at. I'm not good at escape rooms, golf or bowling. I just have a very nice time there. Oh, I love a pub quiz. Can I do that as well? And then if I was a younger person, I'd like to come home and play board games and take lots of drugs.
Oh, yeah. I like that bit. I'm coming with you for that.
It's because I don't feel like I've really utilised the child freeness. If I've been listening for a week, I'd like to do that again. It's been so many years.
Right. So we need to finish up. Any women that you'd like to big up that maybe, just for any reason, but maybe if they're unsung a little bit? Don't worry, I've put you on the spot a bit. Cause...
Yeah, I forgot that was one of the...
Yeah, but I should have said, I should have reminded you.
Well, I'm doing a gig tomorrow. Kiri Pritchard-McLean, so Kiri's done a thing called the COVID Arms all through lockdown, which is every Saturday night an online gig, and she's raised nearly $100,000.
Wow!
She's on over 80, and that's over however many weeks, so it looks like this week they might... Unbelievable.
Good for her!
Yeah, massive. It's absolutely massive. So... That's an honour to be part of. So
she's big, like the bloody captain.
With her friend Jess Lee Wilson, who's also wicked, and she runs Halon Mon Salt in Anglesey, and they do fit gin with salt in it, and they're doing it. You can buy it online.
Okay, anything else you want to ask Gemma before we finish up? If not...
No, I just the only thing is my old stomping ground, the Cavendish Arms, which hosts open mic night Comedy Virgins. They, like every other, you know, establishment, is shut, and they are going to run out of money, they reckon, in about a month. So they're going to be pushing for some donations soon. So if anyone listening has ever performed at the Comedy Virgins Cavendish Arms, they know that it is like a stalwart of the open mic scene for new acts, and it would be a real shame if that doesn't come back.
Oh gosh, well maybe they can have a gig with six people. I don't know, what do we think that
well
be...
I mean, to be honest, I mean, what would be
they normally were.
I was gonna say, Jess, do you think we'd be live gig?
Rise the roof off. We could do that for the summer, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Off some of these gigs.
Yeah. I know certain people, yeah, promoters are scouting around at pub gardens and looking at options and seeing.
I think it's a really good show. And for theatre as well, I think, you know, it's going to take years to come back if we don't start thinking outside the box.
Yeah, I heard something about BBC Proms or something. They're saying they might be able to do something where they have people, I guess, spaced out.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't bear it. I want to cry.
Yeah.
It's just so awful.
Mm.
Yeah. I just can't.
Oh gosh. That's and on that note.
But it will all. You know, it will all start again.
It will.
There'll be casualties. That's for sure.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we'll still be here.
We'll still be here. We've got any spare money.
To make you laugh.
No, I'm like, having a chance.
I'll,
or something.
So I'll finish up the podcast, but don't go anywhere. So thank you for listening to the Funny Mummies. Keep listening, keep sharing. It's the only way people find out about us. Thank you very much, Gemma. Thank you very much to Jess. You can follow them on all the social medias. Thanks very much, ladies.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it, and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.